Welcome, everybody. It's good to see such a nice turnout. Thank you. I know it's late in the day and it's very nice outside, so this must be a very important topic to you, as it is to everyone assembled here, our panelists, myself, and everyone who's living in the United States and globally. The invited session this afternoon is the role of epidemiology in chronic disease assessment, public health policy assurance, intervention, and evaluation. And along with the theme this year, prevention and wellness across the lifespan, the core focus today is on chronic disease within the United States and how we as public health practitioners can take epidemiological evidence and translate that into feet on the street activity, action, public health policy that translates into actual clinical effect from those who are suffering with chronic disease. So first, my name is Dr. Manley Finch. My disclosure is I do work for a pharma company. I'm head of medical affairs for the Southeast U.S. I also am the executive director of the HIV Nutrition Network. I'll let you know that we are just filed the paperwork to change the MPO to Healthy Living Nutrition Network. We have with us also Dr. Robert Bob Wallace, Jamie Shariqui, and Jim Marks. And the presentations today will be as follows. First will be Living Well with Chronic Illness, A Call to Action. Dr. Bob Wallace, Professor of Epidemiology, Iowa College Public Health. He is the Director of Center on Aging, past chair of the APHA Epidemiology Section, and was the chair of the IOM committee that produced the data for the Living Well with Chronic Illness. Dr. Jamie Shariqui, University of Illinois School of Public Health, Senior Research Scientist there. Institute for Health Research and Policy was a committee member in the IOM for the data generating accelerating progress in obesity prevention, which there are reports, if there's any left, on the back. And we'll follow up with Dr. Jim Marks, Senior VP and Director of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Health Group. He is a past Assistant Surgeon General and Director of the Centers for Disease Control's National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. Wow, that's a mouthful. So we'd like to welcome our panelists. A little bit of housekeeping. Please turn your cell phones off or put them on vibrate, if you would. I know we all forget. Mine actually is the Cantina song from Star Wars, so you really don't want to hear that one going off. We will have a discussion section session at the end of the presentations. Yes? If I can, I'll speak. How's that? Is that better? Okay. Sorry. Please be courteous if you need to exit early, which is fine, and no cameras or photos, please. So, learning objectives, I won't read them to you, but they were in the our pass out. Understand the state of chronic disease, rising healthcare costs are exorbitant these days. Historical, current, and future role of epidemiology, prioritization of needed epidemiological initiatives, and then we will provide a call to action to discuss at the end of the presentation. So, let me frame a few things before we get started with our discussant panel. Chronic disease in the United States, as we all know, is rampant. CDC data reveals that over 140 million have a chronic disease or condition, and one in four have at least more than one. Heart disease, stroke, cancer, respiratory illness, and diabetes are the leading causes of chronic disease mortality in the United States. Unfortunately, that is becoming the case globally as well. 70% of U.S. mortality is related to chronic disease. That's approximately 2 million deaths annual. Two-thirds of adults, one-third of children are overweight. Of this number, one-third of adults and one-fifth of children are obese. I live currently in the state of South Carolina. The mean BMI is 31.2 at this moment. Obesity dramatically increases the risk of developing diabetes, heart disease, and ischemic diseases. 30 million in the United States currently have a diagnosis or are projected to have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, with another 79 million estimated to have prediabetes. There are approximately 2 million new cases of diabetes in this country every single year. We are facing a juggernaut of Herculean proportions about to crash into our healthcare system, just like this hurricane is about to crash into the Northeast. 90 million people currently suffer with cardiovascular disease. That's almost 1 million deaths per year. As we all know, many of these diseases are considered diseases of lifestyle. They're about behaviors and about choices and how we as public health practitioners can help deflect those behaviors and modify them using evidence-based programs. One of the things that we're also going to discuss is as we age in this country, age-related chronic diseases in parallel with the lifestyle diseases are going to be a huge impact on our current healthcare system, which as we know now is failing, is underfunded, and it's projected to be out of money within a decade. The CDC estimates that 75% of the $2 trillion U.S. healthcare dollars spent were on preventable chronic diseases. By 2030, the catastrophic burden on the global healthcare system is projected to exceed $47 trillion. And as one of our panel members will mention to you, it will be soon that there will be two people working for every person who is on Medicare or Medicaid. So with that, I'd like to share some of my philosophy. I believe, as a member of the epidemiology section, that epidemiology is not a dry science. We do not sit in ivory towers and produce data. We are action-oriented. It is the cornerstone and heart of public health practice. It is an active information-generating science. The data generated is used in all aspects of public health practice, United States and globally, both in assessment, assurance, policymaking, intervention, and evaluation. It is a reiterative cycle. As we generate data and evaluate it, we learn how to generate even better data. One of the core problems we have now is we generate beautiful, elegant data that often is not translated into actionable items and public health policy leading to the changes we need to deflect chronic disease. Epidemiology is also central to systems thinking and complex health issues. It is an active practice discipline as well as a scientific discipline. We as epidemiologists need to recognize that we work not alone, but in multiple disciplinary teams who work together in concert to drive needed change. Epidemiology is also action research and practice. It is, from its very nature, an action-oriented science. And as we become more active on the streets, involved in participatory action research, we will find that the data we generate will translate more rapidly into public health policy leading to good, solid, evidence-based public health programs. So, 5 decades of missed action. In 1954, the American Heart Association released a report stating that smoking and obesity were related to chronic disease, and no one listened. In 1979, the Surgeon General's report, Healthy People, called us to action to realize that chronic disease, obesity, and lifestyle-related diseases were becoming a problem. Healthy People of 1990, promoting health, preventing disease, objectives for the nations, put into place a series of programs that began to lead us to change. However, we did not meet those objectives. Similarly in 2000, similarly in 2010, and now we have Healthy People 2020. It is time that we learn from these mistakes. We learn that this is an opportunity to do better than we have done. So with that, I want to share a couple of things that shocked me. I think you'll all appreciate these. Ponderings. So I visited the South Carolina State Fair for the first time. My daughters, I have three, drug me in, and this was one of the first food vendors as you walked in. And as you see, it's the State Fair pork chop on a stick. The serving size, it's a 12-ounce pork chop. It is not sautéed. It is not baked. It is not broiled. It is deep-fat fried. They had jumbo smoked turkey legs. Each turkey leg weighs approximately 14 to 18 ounces. Now, I'm a victim of buying one, but I did share it with the family. This one shocked me. I don't know if you can see this. It's made to order. Can everybody read that? That says a donut burger. The bun is a donut similar to a Krispy Kreme donut, only 2 times the normal size. It is slathered with mayonnaise, cheese, coleslaw, and something that looked like Thousand Island. And you could optionally have that with pulled pork on top of the hamburger or bacon. It was your choice. If you look at the elephant ear stand, you notice how busy it is. Right behind that is actually a stir-fried teriyaki stand. There were two, and I mean two, people standing there. So here's the other one. This was the one that made my jaw drop. As I'm standing there taking this photo, a young lady reaches around and puts tape up. So we have fried Snickers. This is a Snickers bar, frozen, dipped in elephant ear batter and fried. It's then covered in confectioner sugar. The Milky Way is the same thing, only it's a Milky Way. Cookie dough is literally a ball of cookie dough wrapped in fritter batter, fried, and covered in confectioner sugar. Reese's, Oreos, butter. We're going to get to butter in a minute. As I stood there, this was the single most busy booth on this avenue of fried confections. As I stood there, she reached her hand around through the window and put a sign up saying that both the Oreos and the fried butter were out. They were that popular. So please listen for a moment as we hear what's being said. Well, it should launch. Okay, well, Jamie, let's hope yours is under. Okay, so I apologize. I interviewed the young woman who was standing there inside the little trailer booth thing, and I asked her, I said, what is fried butter? And she explained to me it was a whole stick of butter, frozen, cut into four equal pieces. It was then rolled in brown sugar and cinnamon, dipped in elephant ear batter, that's the fritter batter, deep fat fried. And when these are taken out, they're then powdered in confectioner sugar, and a serving is four, and you get a little dipping cup of caramel sauce. I asked her if she ate these. She said she'd been working there for 9 years, and she had not. I asked her if she knew how many calories were in it. She said, it's better not to know. A straw analysis that I did on the back end, and I won't. It didn't go into a bomb calorimeter, mind you, but I can assure you it's pretty close. It's 1,200 calories. So that's what we're dealing with. It's about healthy. If we want to be healthy people, we have to make healthy choices.